Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Radio Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso. We have had some momentous political news breaking this week, both locally and nationally. Former President Donald Trump has been indicted by a New York grand jury over hush money paid to porn star Stormy Daniels, and we'll have details from Public News Service, along with a legislative update from them on bills introduced in Congress on energy and women's issues. Right here in San Diego County, Supervisor Nathan Fletcher has announced his resignation after a lawsuit accusing Fletcher of harassing and sexually assaulting an MTS employee. That announcement comes just days after he revealed he's gone into rehab for PTSD and alcohol abuse. Hear more on this story on today's show. And we should note that both Supervisor Fletcher and former President Trump have denied any criminal wrongdoing. On Crime Beat, El Cajon police have arrested more paroled criminals who were part of the county's motel voucher program for the homeless, this time on charges of drugs and illegal weapons. There's some good news in Lemon Grove, where the latest budget report shows a substantial surplus. Our newsmaker interview today is with Clovis Honore from Grid Alternatives. They provide free solar for homes in underprivileged communities. He's also with the Green New Deal Alliance. Hear why the time to go solar is now, before mid-April, when the California Public Utilities Commission is changing net metering policies that will be far less favorable for homeowners, except those who sign up for solar before that mid-April deadline. Then on Destination East County, we'll have all the most fun festivals and events coming up across our inland region, from egg hunts to Earth Day events. From California News Service, we'll have a report on banking alternatives, as well as a report on a shortage of primary care doctors. El Cajon police have warned of flood dangers to homeless people camped in drainage canals amid the recent rains. The recent storm also downed a 300-year-old oak tree that caused damage in Potrero, and we'll have details. On Green Scene, learn about a report on hydrogen hubs from California News Service. Plus, hear what it takes to become a lakeside rodeo queen. So stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times. A grand jury in New York has voted to indict former President Donald Trump over his role in hush money payments to porn star Stormy Daniels. He will be the first former U.S. president to face criminal charges. Meanwhile, New York Attorney General Letitia James has said the Manhattan DA's case won't have any impact on her lawsuit against Trump for fraudulent business practices. James's case is expected to go to trial in October.
H.R. 1 is a sad regurgitation of the majority's bill from the 115th Congress with the tax on the Inflation Reduction Act. Transmission conversations are completely absent, yet we know that investment in transmission is key to our energy future.
Virginia Democrat Don Baer was one of many members of the House of Representatives who spoke against the Lower Energy Costs Act. The bill, dubbed the Polluters Over People Act, would expedite energy projects more focused on fossil fuels than renewable energies. It also seeks to eliminate a variety of funds for energy efficiency improvements, as well as the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund. It also claws back presidential power to declare a moratorium against fracking. The bill now goes to the Senate for consideration. The State Department is warning all Americans in Russia to leave immediately. This comes after Wall Street Journal journalist Evan Gershkovitz was arrested in Russia on espionage charges. Along with the State Department, the White House has also condemned Russia's actions. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said these charges are ridiculous.
The targeting of American citizens by Russian government is unacceptable. We condemn the detention of Mr. Gershkovitz in the strongest terms. We also condemn the Russian government's continued targeting and repression of journalists.
House Democrats have reintroduced legislation to codify abortion rights. This is the seventh time the Women's Health Protection Act has been brought before the House of Representatives. Since gaining a majority, House Republicans have approved a series of stringent anti-abortion bills. One such bill would require healthcare professionals to preserve the life of an infant in the rare case the baby is born alive during an attempted abortion. California Democrat Judy Chu said there can't be true equality in the U.S. without reproductive freedom for all.
No matter where you live, politicians would have more say about what happens to your body than you do.
Following a mass shooting at a private school in Nashville, many are calling for stricter gun protections. But Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy highlighted the need to also focus on mental illness. He said there needs to be a severe conversation about what's driving mental illness that goes beyond drafting legislation.
I don't think one piece of legislation solved this. I think a nation together, working together, solves a problem that's much bigger than us.
I'm Edwin J. Vieira for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
San Diego County Supervisor Nathan Fletcher announced on March 29th that he will resign his District 4 seat at the end of his medical leave for treatment of PTSD and alcohol abuse. The announcement comes on the heels of a lawsuit filed March 28th against Fletcher and the Metropolitan Transit System by an MTS employee who claims Fletcher harassed and sexually assaulted her on MTS property and that she was fired by MTS in retaliation. Fletcher has called the relationship consensual and a mistake, but denies harassing or assaulting the plaintiff, Grecia Figueroa, a former TV journalist and MTS spokesperson. Fletcher's attorney, Danielle Hutenius Moore, alleges that Figueroa tried to extort Fletcher before filing a suit and that Fletcher's team will be pursuing our own legal response. A statement from Fletcher reads in part, "The combination of my personal mistakes plus false accusations has created a burden that my family shouldn't have to bear. I will be resigning from the Board of Supervisors effective at the end of my medical leave. I will focus solely on getting healthy and being a good husband, father, and friend." Fletcher, a decorated combat veteran, is reportedly at a facility out of state receiving treatment for post-traumatic stress syndrome related to his military service and childhood trauma, as well as treatment for alcohol abuse, as he announced on March 26th. Figueroa alleges that while serving as MTS chairman, Fletcher stalked her on social media and sought to have sex with her, but she claims she rebuffed those advances. She claims Fletcher sexually assaulted her twice, including pulling off her blouse and groping her in a conference room at MTS after a board meeting. The suit alleges that she felt pressured and intimidated by Fletcher's advances, believing that as chair of the MTS board and a politician, he had the power to destroy her career at MTS. Text messages and images included in the lawsuit filing reveal that Fletcher invited Figueroa to share a beer in the stairwell of a hotel and that she accepted the invitation. She texted a photo sent only to Fletcher of herself in a low-cut top. He texted that he wanted to feel good and suggested they needed a setting away from the public eye, stating, "like in a closet." According to the lawsuit, Figueroa was fired by MTS on the same date that Fletcher announced his run for state senate, which Figueroa claims was retaliatory. Fletcher has resigned as MTS chair, in addition to announcing he will resign as supervisor days after ending his Senate state campaign. MTS has announced that San Diego City Councilman Steve Whitburn will serve as MTS interim chair. The situation is reminiscent of the scandal that drove former San Diego Mayor Bob Filner from office. In 2013, Filner resigned amid multiple charges of sexual harassment filed by women who worked for him at the city. Filner was criminally charged and accepted a plea bargain, admitting to false imprisonment and battery. He was sentenced to 3 months house arrest, plus probation, and lost part of his mayoral pension. The Fletcher scandal and resignation raised several key questions. Why did MTS fire Figueroa? Did Fletcher assault Figueroa, or was their relationship consensual? Who at MTS knew of the sexual misconduct allegations, and when? How will the vacancy be filled on the Board of Supervisors after Fletcher's resignation? Who will seek to fill the supervisorial seat held by Fletcher, a Democrat? Republican Amy Reichardt, who ran against Fletcher in 2022, has announced she will seek the office. It remains to be seen which Democrat may pursue the seat, or whether any Republicans or independents may opt to put their hats in the ring. Civil rights leader Shane Harris had called on Fletcher to resign his positions shortly before Fletcher announced that he would do so. Harris stated, "Morally, he cheated on his wife, who has supported him hands down. Legally, he is alleged of carrying out a relationship with a subordinate." He added that whether or not the relationship was consensual, new leadership is needed to protect the interests of constituents. He also offered prayers for Fletcher to repair what has been broken in his life and family. Fletcher's family has undergone multiple stresses recently. His wife, Lorena Gonzalez Fletcher, recently underwent surgery for breast cancer. A fire at the family's home was found to have been set by an arsonist. Gonzalez Fletcher, Executive Secretary Treasurer of the California Labor Federation and a former assembly member, urged her husband to resign. She posted on Twitter, "I love my husband. He has acknowledged his mistakes, and I believe his name will be cleared of false accusations. Still, I asked him to resign to lessen the strain on our family. I'm relieved he is finally getting treatment for his needs." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Tidwell.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news from San Diego's East County. A free press is the foundation of our democracy. KNSJ Radio is dedicated to providing nonprofit news in the public interest, not special interests. We rely on your support to continue bringing you important stories from San Diego and East County that you won't hear anywhere else. Please make a generous donation at knsj.org to sustain KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
This is East County Magazine's Crime Beat. On the streets, reporting on crimes impacting communities across our region, helping to keep you safe and informed.
This is Miriam Raftery with a Crime Beat report. Five men have been arrested at the Best Value Inn in El Cajon for possession of illegal drugs and weapons, including some who were on probation and staying there under the county's homeless voucher program. On March 29th, El Cajon police officers stopped a vehicle for a traffic violation. The driver, John Bevins, was on probation for possessing stolen property. Police found an illegal weapon, methamphetamine, and drug paraphernalia in the vehicle, according to Lieutenant Darren Forrester. That led to a search of the motel room where Bevins was staying at the Best Value Inn on Oakdale Avenue. He was a participant in the county's motel voucher program for homeless individuals. When officers approached the room, they saw another man, Gene Garcia, leaving. He was found to be in possession of methamphetamines. Officers found two more men inside the room, Hector Robles and Daniel Mansour. Mansour was staying there under the county's homeless voucher program, administered by the vendor Equus. He was in possession of methamphetamine as well. Mansour told the officers he'd been on the county's homeless voucher program for 18 months in multiple El Cajon hotels. Robles was on probation for possession of stolen property. He was found to have over 37 grams of methamphetamines, Lieutenant Forster says. Officers learned he had a separate room at the motel, so they searched it too, and found Arturo Ruiz in the room, also in possession of methamphetamines. These arrests are the latest in a string of criminal actions alleged by the county's voucher program participants. Earlier in March, two men were arrested for sexually assaulting and molesting an underage girl. A teen was shot in the head in a separate incident. There have also been open drug use incidences around the motels by voucher participants and other illegal activities. The City of El Cajon has urged the county to vet voucher participants for criminal backgrounds, but the county has thus far refused to do so because the program is an inclusive one intended to keep all homeless participants off the streets. Those who violate the rules are moved, or after multiple violations, can be expelled from the program. The City Council is now weighing a variety of actions that would restrict or regulate motels accepting county vouchers to house the homeless in El Cajon, and has asked staff to draft language for proposals ranging from requiring motels to screen voucher participants for criminal backgrounds and notify police, up to a partial or full moratorium of the program in El Cajon.
Lemon Grove's financial manager, Joseph Ware, presented some good news to the City Council during his mid-year budget review on March 21st. The revised budget predicts a substantial surplus due mainly to $500,000 more in sales tax revenues than originally anticipated. Sales tax accounts for 35% of all Lemon Grove City revenues. The city also benefited from an 11.3% increase in the median price of homes sold, meaning more property tax revenues, though the housing market has since slowed down due to rising interest rates. Lemon Grove also had an uptick in retail sales, though that trend may change as COVID-19 restrictions have lifted. Weir urged residents to continue to dine, shop, and spend money in Lemon Grove. A new source of revenue is sales tax from cannabis dispensaries. This figure, too, has been revised upwards by $200,000, from $525,000 to $725,000 for fiscal year 2022-23. It wasn't all positive news. Franchise fees are declining, says Ware, because people are canceling cable services and going to streaming. Staff revised this revenue source downward by about $24,000. A realignment project for traffic signals has gone far over budget, but the city did receive a legal settlement for the project of $482,000. Heartland Fire Department, which serves Lemon Grove, had $90,000 in unscheduled overtime to backfill staff vacancies, and Public Works had a $95,000 increase due to hiring an interim employee to cover administrative work due to an open position while the city has sought a new Public Works director. There were also added allocations to install new pedestrian crossing signs, repair traffic signals and a sinkhole, and fund a modest increase in street sweeping costs. Overall, taking into account both unanticipated revenue gains and new expenses, the city finance manager reports an anticipated budget surplus of just over $196,000. That's sweet news for Lemon Grove, which only a couple of years ago was struggling with a budget deficit, prompting some community leaders to suggest unincorporating as a city and reverting to county control. Fortunately, that sour economic outlook has turned, and the future for Lemon Grove is looking brighter. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Tidwell.
Would you like to receive East County Magazine's newsletter with top news weekly from our inland region? You can also sign up for free wildfire and emergency alerts. Stay safe and informed. Sign up for our complimentary emailed newsletter and wildfire alerts at eastcountymagazine.org.
Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice. And today, my special guest is Clovis Honoré. He is going to be speaking with us today about environmental justice issues. Clovis is the outreach coordinator for Grid Alternatives. That's an environmental justice nonprofit that installs free solar systems on homes of low to moderate income families. And he's also an activist with the San Diego Green New Deal Alliance. So Clovis, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Miriam. Glad to be here.
So tell us a little bit more about Grid Alternatives. It sounds like a great idea. Who qualifies and how does this work?
Grid Alternatives is a great idea and a great institution founded by our founders back in 2008. Mm-hmm. And we've been putting free solar on low-income homeowners' homes since then. More than 20,000 units have been placed on people's homes since then.
Is it locally here in San Diego or is it a statewide program?
It is both statewide. We have an office in Colorado that primarily does tribal work. And then we have an office on the East Coast as well.
Oh, so it's actually national then. Yeah. Where do people get more information? Is there a website?
Yep, gridalternatives.org.
Okay.
Grid, like in the electric grid, alternatives.org.
So for those listening here in San Diego or other places, how do you qualify? How low or moderate income do you need to be to get this?
Okay, so we're a 501c3 nonprofit, so we don't charge anyone anything for the services that we do. Sometimes folks will have to do some upgrades on their homes in order to qualify. Mm-hmm. Right now, if you are on CARE, with San Diego Gas and Electric or qualify for CARE by income,
yeah,
then you would qualify for our primary program, which is funded by the state of California. It's called DAC SASH, Disadvantaged Communities Solar, a Single Family Affordable Solar Homes. However, you have to live in a very limited area because the state of California tells us where we can spend their money. And right now, that's pretty much in 92113 in a few surrounding areas, a small area along the bay in National City, a small area along the bay in Chula Vista, a small area around the airport in El Cajon, and then a small area along the freeway in Lemon Grove.
Okay. And so you do all of the installation, but not the, you know, not the maintenance, or is that included too?
Maintenance is included too. What we have is a contract with Sunrun. Sunrun provides us with panels. The money that we get from the state and other donations pays for the installation, and then Sunrun charges the client for the electricity, but our program pays for the electricity. So we get into a 25-year prepaid power purchase agreement contract, and we pay all of those expenses.
Now, you mentioned folks that are on SDG&E's CARE program can qualify. What about for those, the many people out there now that are buying their power through community choice alternatives instead of SDG&E? Is there?
Yeah, they would qualify also.
They would too. Okay, very, very good. It's really a good timing for people to be able to access this because, as many of our listeners may know, the mm-hmm. state is taking away some major benefits for solar, the CPUC, California Public Utilities Commission,
right,
effective, I think it's April 13th or 14th?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, what we have is called a thing called net energy metering. When you put a solar system on your house, you generate electricity. If mm-hmm. you generate enough for your house, that's your electricity. You've already paid for it because you bought the system or you're in some other system. Other way of acquiring that electricity. If you generate more electricity than you use, that goes back into the grid, and SDG&E must pay you for that electricity. So during the day, obviously, when the sun is up, your solar generates. At night, it does not. So you're using SDG&E electricity at night. You're generating your own in the daytime, and the net is either you pay if you use more than you generate, or they pay you if you generate more than you use. Now, that system is going to change on April 14th.
How?
So April 13th is the last day that we'll have the old system. It's going to be called Net Energy Metering 3.0. It's actually Net Billing Tariff, an NBT. And what they're going to do is they're going to pay you different rates depending upon when you're generating excess electricity.
So basically, you're going to be making less money than you would under the current system.
About 75% less money.
Wow. But if someone can get in the door, do they have to just sign a contract to get solar put on
yes.
their house before April?
The three requirements in order to get into what we call NEM 2.0, the current system, the better system, is you have to have a contract, you have to have your application into SDG&E, and you must have the design. Those three things must be submitted to SDG&E prior to the deadline. Now, you don't have to have it actually installed
before
then.
So it might be hard to even get a design done here, but there's only, what, a little over 2 weeks left?
Over 2 weeks left, and everybody, if you call somebody today, they're going to hustle to get you a solar system. Get those things into SDG&E prior to the deadline.
Okay, well, that's good. There's still hope then. Can you speak to the whole dynamic of why the California Public Utilities Commission is allowing this to happen? It seems so illogical at a time when global warming is so important, and yet we're taking away one of the biggest incentives for the average homeowner or business owner to go out and buy a solar system. Why is this happening?
Well, you know, One of the reasons I got the job I have is because in a prior life, I actually worked for a company called the Utility Reform Network, and my job was to go to the CPUC hearings and argue against mostly the rate increases and things of that nature.
Right, which is happening again. Yeah,
which is happening again, right? Which means that's why it's such a great time to get solar under the current system.
Yep.
There's a little bit of a balancing. The state of California being, I think, the fifth largest economy on the planet by itself, and obviously the largest or second largest in the United States of America, has a plan to reduce our greenhouse gases. Our company came into being because our founders, Erica Mankey and Tim Sears, knew we could never meet that if you couldn't get solar on less affluent people's homes, because only rich people can afford to buy a solar system, especially under the old system. What has happened in San Diego, so kind of a balance. The first iteration of the program we're doing, and NEM 1.0, was people were getting whole systems, and they could get any size system they want, and they would get paid. So a lot of those folks are still getting paid. Mm-hmm. The second one, in NEM 2.0, which we're in now, it's a little bit of a better balance, and it worked very well. The challenge, you know, to be honest and not really supportive of SDG&E necessarily, but to be honest, San Diego now has 100,000 plus solar systems in play.
Yeah, no, we've done some things right. There's a, you know, I mean, that's a good thing.
Right, but that's a good thing. The challenge there is that the solar systems only work during the day. And without getting into all of the whole thing about how people, you know, you have to start up a power plant in advance in order to deal with peak times. And now peak time is when the sun is going down between 4 and 9, when, you know, all these solar systems are generating excess electricity that nobody can use because there's just too much of it. Mm-hmm. Then when the sun goes down, they all stop generating and everybody comes home from work, comes home from school, turns on the stove, turns on the computer, turns on the television, and turns on and start using electricity. And so it peaks. But there's a way they have to deal with that in the industry. And that's why your rates are so high between 4 and 9, because there's no real way to address that at the moment with the way the system is set up. And without, again, I'm trying to be balanced, SDG&E and PC&E and SC invested in infrastructure 10 and 20 and 30 years ago is part of your rates.
They did. And they have, to their credit, been doing a lot of fire hardening since the big fires that some of their equipment caused.
They don't have that money in the bank. They borrow that money at an interest rate and they pay it back over time with your electricity bill. So as you're paying them, you're actually paying back that loan. Well, if you take 100,000, you take 1/3 of all the systems out and those folks are no longer paying for that stuff, then how do you balance people who are with solar systems paying for the infrastructure that was part of their bills previously, right? And there's some challenges to that because the parts of that aspect were tied to the rates.
Yeah.
So if I'm not paying for any electricity, that means there's a portion of that I'm not paying for. Now, I think what they tried to do to balance it was really horrific and not good.
Yeah. And so but they were lobbied heavily by the utility companies, bottom line.
Right.
Apparently persuaded.
Yeah. So they're trying to, the CPUC is trying to balance that equation somewhat, but they're balancing it the wrong way. I think they're balancing it the wrong way.
Yeah, I know. They did modify it.
And they should have made a longer.
Is it still, for those that aren't able to get in the door before the middle of April with their solar, is it still going to make sense to go solar after that?
Absolutely.
But just less, with a little less financial incentive, but still.
Right. What you're talking about is return on investment. For folks who have to, for our clients, it's always going to be good because it's free.
Right.
For folks who have to invest in solar, it's going to be take them longer to recoup their investment. Instead of 7 to 10 years, it might take them 15 to 20 years. But it's still a good thing, A, for their money, and two, for the environment.
Tell us a little bit about the San Diego Green New Deal Alliance and what that's all about.
That's a beautiful, wonderful consortium of over 60 organizations, from the Sierra Club to Surf Riders to Grid Alternatives to the Green Building Council, and I hope there's 60 plus organizations. All of are interested in seeing that there's going to be a planet left after 2050. And they've banded together with the assistance of the Climate Action Campaign, which is run by Nicole Capritz, who wrote the city of San Diego's climate plan, and then had to tell them, you're not doing it right. You haven't done anything with it.
Sued a couple times.
And actually had to sue them to do it. But we're all working together to support each other to make sure that, one, what each of us is doing is supported and augmented by what all the rest of us are doing, and that we can coordinate activities that we're doing and to use that political power. And we're all nonprofits, almost all nonprofits. Mm-hmm. So we don't obviously, do the candidate thing. We have to keep our 501c3s.
Of course, yes.
But we can have people come and speak to all kinds of issues and sign on to letters to all kinds of issues, generically speaking and broadly speaking, that can help us move toward a climate neutral environment.
So listeners, if you want to get involved and you want to be part of this cause, Where can people get more information about the San Diego Green New Deal Alliance?
All they have to do is Google San Diego Green New Deal Alliance.
I'm going to let you have the final word today, Clovis. What else would you like our listeners to know about the green scene here in San Diego?
Well, we just did some of us from another zone did a little protest downtown in front of Chase Bank to remind people that the money they have put in the bank, these banks are using to fund fossil fuel industries, which is destroying the planet. And the one of the lines I used in there, and the little video they did of me that I really like it is that all the money in your bank is going to do you no good when the planet's on fire.
Yeah,
right. So your money is funding the fossil fuel industry that's burning your planet. Right. You should think about your children and your grandchildren, that they're going to inherit a planet on fire because you decided to leave your money in banks or with institutions that are helping.
So looking socially responsible, investing, for those that have money to invest is a good thing and something you can do.
And it takes extra energy, but it's worth it to save the planet, I think.
Absolutely. Well, Clovis, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
Thank you, Miriam. It's been a blessing.
You're welcome.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news from San Diego's East County.
Welcome to East County Magazine's Destination East County, bringing you all of the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County each week.
This is Jonathan Getz.
And this is Miriam Raftery with this week's Destination East County.
There's a wide assortment of events coming up across San Diego's inland region, including a supper club show with an SNL comedy star, a butterfly jungle, Easter egg hunts, car show, Earth Day celebrations, Wolf Center tours, music festivals, a Western Days parade, a wine and food festival, and more. The San Diego Zoo Safari Park in Escondido invites you to a spring safari featuring a butterfly jungle. Visitors can wander through the hidden jungle aviary among hundreds of colorful, fluttering butterflies, have a chance to feed them, and learn how they contribute to our ecosystem, as well as help save wildlife in our own backyard. Spring Safari featuring Butterfly Jungle will shine a spotlight on the incredible local wildlife in the Southwest region, including San Diego, a biodiversity hotspot. Guests are also encouraged to visit the Safari Park's native Nectar Garden and Baja Gardens. Guests can also enjoy live music, dancing, juggling, and strawberry-themed treats. The Spring Safari featuring Butterfly Jungle opened on March 18th and continues through May 14th, with check-in from 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. daily. Find more information at sdzsafaripark.org.
Honolulu Casino will welcome Daryl Hammond to the rooftop for a one-of-a-kind dinner and comedy show on Saturday, April 1st at 5:30 p.m. and again at 8 p.m., widely recognized for his sharp humor and masterful impressions of politicians, celebrities, and newsmakers on Saturday Night Live, Hammond has been keeping audiences laughing for nearly three decades. He comes to Hummel Casino as part of its Supper Club at the Rooftop series. Daryl Hammond is one of the most prolific comedians of his time. He holds the title for being the second longest-running cast member on SNL at 14 seasons, and he's served as the show's announcer since 2014. He has appeared in a number of feature films as well as TV shows. He's known for his impersonations of famous people, including presidents, and he's performed at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, among many other venues. For tickets and more information, you can visit HamulCasinoSD.com.
California Wolf Center in Julian invites you to book a guided tour of their conservation facility on April 2nd to see a pack of critically endangered wolves and learn about wolf conservation. This unique experience is fun for all ages. The one-hour tours are by reservation only and are offered at 10 a.m., 1 p.m., and 3 p.m. You can make reservations online at californiawolfcenter.org.
Parkway Plaza Shopping Mall in El Cajon will host its annual Easter Extravaganza on Tuesday, April 4th, from 1 p.m. to 3:30. Get ready to hop into spring as four local elementary schools compete in a live giant egg painting competition in the center court for a chance to win a $500 donation to their arts program. For everybody who comes, there will be face painting, an Easter egg hunt,
craft stations, bunny hop sack races, and characters roaming around the mall. To participate in the Easter egg hunt, guests will receive an egg passport and search for hidden eggs throughout the mall with a chance to win prizes. The Easter Bunny will also be at the mall and available for photos from March 25th until April 8th, and you can reserve a time at visitparkwayplaza.com.
You're invited to hop on over to the San Diego Animal Sanctuary and Farm in Alpine to celebrate Easter with the animals and participate in one of four Easter egg hunts. There will be one hunt per day from Thursday, April 6th through Sunday, April 9th. The Easter egg hunts will begin at 11 a.m. daily. Over 4,000 eggs will be filled with plush animals, toys, and candy spread out across the 20-acre farm. The farm's bunnies will be there, and the Easter Bunny will visit daily at 11 a.m. For tickets and details, visit sandiegoanimalsanctuaryandfarm.org.
Grossmont Center in La Mesa will host its Easter Egg Extravaganza on April 8th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., filled with family fun, including a scavenger hunt for kids with prizes, face painting, balloon animals, games, and photos with the Easter Bunny. This is a BYOB event. That's Bring Your Own Basket. For details or to register, you can visit grossmontcenter.com.
The San Diego State University Powwow is a cultural and social event that is held annually to bring together the Native community at SDSU. This year's Powwow will be held on Saturday, April 8th from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. This event is open to the public. It includes dance contests, cultural displays, arts and crafts booths, food vendors, and information booths.
Local and national stars will be playing American blues harmonica music at Spring Harp Fest. The Family Fun event, which raises funds to benefit music education countywide, will be held April 8th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Harry Griffin Park in La Mesa. The annual showcase includes local jams, competition among unknown players, and some of the best professional players in the music scene. Guests are encouraged to bring their harmonicas, hula hoops, cameras, bubbles, and dancing shoes. Food will be available for purchase. Locals who want to test their prowess can even compete to earn the title of Best of the Unknown Players, selected through audience applause during a 2 p.m. jam. Spring Harp Fest has helped raise funds to purchase 5,000 harmonicas for local school music programs and annually helps fund summer blues camps. For more information, visit springharpfest.org.
Opening night for Cajon Classic Cruises will be Wednesday, April 12th, along Main Street in downtown El Cajon. The car shows will continue each Wednesday from 5 to 7:30 p.m. all summer long. For a schedule of events, visit downtownelcajon.com.
Saps at Sea, the San Diego chapter of Sons of the Desert, the official Laurel and Hardy fan club, will host its April gathering, a very special night on April 15th at Trinity Presbyterian Church in Spring Valley, and that starts at 7 p.m. Saps will screen a special feature titled The Golden Age of Comedy. The film features Laurel and Hardy, Will Rogers, Gene Harlow, Carol Lombard, the Keystone Cops, and more. The film will be introduced by film historian and author Manny Pacheco. Pacheco will also bring copies of his book, Forgotten Hollywood, People and Places of the Golden Age of Tinseltown. For details on this event, you can visit the Saps at Sea page on Facebook.
Shelter to Soldier is a nonprofit that adopts dogs from local shelters and rescue organizations and trains them to become psychiatric service dogs for post-9/11 veterans suffering from post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, and/or military sexual trauma. The nonprofit group will hold its fourth annual Saving Lives, One Swing at a Time golf tournament and dinner on Friday, April 21st on the Championship Oak Glen course at Singing Hills Golf Resort at Sequan. To register or get details, visit sheltertosoldier.org.
The City of La Mesa invites you to the La Mesa Earth Day Festival on Saturday, April 22nd from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at MacArthur Park. The event is open to the public and will include arts and crafts, eco-friendly vendors, a bicycle rodeo and bike activities, also a fix-it clinic, food truck, kids zone with bounce house, tile painting for Collier Park, giveaways, and more.
For its annual Earth Day celebration, the Desert View Tower and Boulder Park will host a Boulder Fair on Saturday, April 22nd from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., The festivities will include live music by Sage, Victor Bosque, and Sunrise Highway, as well as arts and crafts, gifts, jewelry, displays of rocks and gemstones, healing herbs and medicinal plants, gardening tips and a plant sale, organic produce, superfoods, tie-dye products, a desert plant walk, and a kid zone. There will also be tamales and Mexican food to purchase, as well as a gourmet coffee truck. Desert View Tower and Boulder Park are located just off I-8 on Inkopa Road in Hakumba Hot Springs. You can learn more at the Desert View Tower page on Facebook.
The Ramona Senior Center will host a car show on Saturday, April 22nd from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Grace Community Church in Ramona. The event is presented by the Over the Hill Gang Car Club and Ramona American Graffiti Crews. Visitors can see muscle cars, classic and custom vehicles, motorcycles, hot rods, trucks, and off-road vehicles. The event will also include a silent auction, all-pro live sounds and DJ, raffle prizes, drinks, hot dogs, and trophies for winning participants.
On May 6th, Cuyamaca College is combining several major events for a true springtime extravaganza. Coyote Music Festival will present a range of amazing artists in the Gardens Amphitheater all day, from rock and roll bands to singer-songwriters' melodic tunes. The Water Conservation Garden will host its Spring Garden and Butterfly Festival on May 6th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Guests can watch butterfly releases and children can join Miss Smarty Plants and Miss Monarch at a pollinator party to hear stories and craft their own pollinator wings. The garden will also have specialty vendors, workshops, and food trucks. In addition, Cuyamaca College's Ornamental Horticulture Department will hold its largest plant sale of the year in their brand new nursery. Plus, the Heritage of the Americas Museum will be hosting tours throughout the day. Find more details at thegarden.org.
You can savor tastes from 25 wineries, 3 breweries, and 20 local restaurants at Vintage Alpine on May 7th from 1 to 4 p.m. at Summers Past Farms in Flint Springs. Vintage Alpine began in 1990, and it's now one of the biggest events of its kind in San Diego County. More than 500 people from all over the Southwest attend the event each year, which also features relaxing live music in a beautiful garden setting, as well as a silent auction and opportunities to meet wine and food experts. All proceeds of Vintage Alpine are used by the Kiwanis Club of Alpine to provide services and programs supporting the children in the San Diego region. For tickets and reservations, you can visit vintagealpine.org.
The theme of this year's Western Days Parade in Lakeside will be Fighting for Justice. District Attorney Summer Steffen will serve as Grand Marshal of the parade on Saturday, April 29th. The 59th annual parade begins at 9:35 a.m. and will proceed along Main Avenue in downtown Lakeside. The parade is organized by the Lakeside Chamber of Commerce. For more information, visit lakesidechamber.org.
That's all for this week.
We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
See you around East County!
The recent collapse of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank has put a spotlight on the safety and stability of the U.S. financial system. Now, some experts are pointing to a greater role for community banks. Nuri Osbe with Self-Help Federal Credit Union says community development financial institutions and minority depository institutions, known as CDFIs and MDIs, are comparatively well capitalized and have high levels of liquidity.
Community banks, CDFIs and MDIs, are usually financially conservative. They put their members first, and they are usually risk-averse, so they are safe places to invest.
Silicon Valley Bank focused heavily on startups, while Signature Bank had a lot of money tied up in cryptocurrency. Osbe notes that local banks are much less likely to rely on these types of higher-risk investments. Brady Quirk Garvin is co-owner of Natural Investments, which helps people invest their money according to their values. He says smaller credit unions are more accountable to their members because the members are also the bank's main investors.
They're more likely to take profits from the year and invest it in member services. So whether that's hiring more tellers or whether it's investing by making loans in a local community bakery, they're making a different set of decisions when it comes to their values.
The Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, the FDIC, keeps the banking system stable by insuring all deposits up to $250,000, no matter the size of your bank. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Ahead of the latest storm, El Cajon police relocated homeless people found camped in drainage canals on March 28th and posted a warning on social media of the flood dangers. The post includes photos of tent encampments with water nearly up to the edges of the tents. El Cajon's Special Enforcement Unit, or SEU, made sure that all of the encampments were cleared out before the storm, which dumped over an inch of water in El Cajon on March 29th and 30th. El Cajon Police Department's post on Facebook warns this is not a safe river to camp at, adding, it's more common than you think for individuals to be swept away by rushing water in the canals, and it happens fast. The police department says they are thankful for Heartland Fire Department's swift water rescue team, but adds, they have helped save countless lives, but we'd rather not have to use them. Their post concludes, if you know someone who needs shelter and is willing to accept the help, please contact El Cajon Police Department's Special Enforcement Unit. Stay safe and stay dry. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
Environmental groups are seeking greater input as California puts the finishing touches on its application to become a hub for hydrogen fuel production, billed as a big step toward a zero carbon emission future. The project is being managed by a public-private partnership called the Alliance for Renewable Clean Hydrogen Energy Systems, known as ARCHES. Monica Embry with the Sierra Club says this is an incredible opportunity to advance climate progress, but only if certain guardrails are put in place.
If they use existing pipelines, they would have to really separate them quite a lot. And we want to make sure that those have safety mechanisms in place, that communities get to say whether or not a pipeline near them actually gets used for hydrogen. We want leakage monitoring. We want really strict standards.
Hydrogen is extremely explosive and is a major greenhouse gas pollutant if it leaks or is burned. So, ARCHES says it will not be used for homes or commercial buildings, but instead will be targeted to medium and heavy-duty vehicles, ports, and power plants, which are especially difficult to decarbonize. In addition, ARCHES says hydrogen will be produced using renewable power and will not be blended with natural gas within pipelines. SoCalGas and Chevron have been consulting on the application. And the ARCHES website calls for meaningful engagement with community groups and environmental justice advocates. However, Bahram Faseli with the group Communities for a Better Environment says the planning process has been rather opaque thus far.
They have done a very poor job of prioritizing environmental justice or public health in their process. They're not open to the California's open meeting laws and public participation. They only have one environmental justice representative in their 11-member board.
The application to the Department of Energy is due April 7th. New hydrogen hubs could bring more than $1 billion in federal investment to California. This is Suzanne Potter reporting. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news from San Diego's East County.
Most pageants are all about good looks and perhaps musical talent, but the journey to be crowned queen at Lakeside's Bulls Only Rodeo begins with contestants showing their horsemanship skills, followed by interviews with equestrian judges. This year, 5 teenagers competed for the title of Miss Bulls Only Rodeo Queen, with another 5 vying to become junior Miss Bulls Only Rodeo Queen. The rodeo is sponsored by the Optimist Club of Lakeside, and funds raised by Lakeside's rodeo grounds benefit youth groups in the community. In the past 7 years, over $250,000 raised by Lakeside Rodeos has been donated to help Lakeside's young people. Among other things, the rodeo raises funds used for youth scholarships, Future Farmers of America and 4-H participants, summer programs for special needs students, school playgrounds and gardens, textbooks and book giveaways, student journalism classes, auto mechanics, computers and fiber optic networks, Boy Scouts, and breakfast with Santa. The newly crowned queens will serve as ambassadors at rodeos and other events from Southern California to Arizona. Kate Richardson, a 17-year-old honor roll high school junior from Imperial, is the new Miss Bull's only rodeo queen. She got her first horse when she was 10 years old and says she fell in love with rodeo. She soon began competing as a barrel racer, was named Junior Miss Lakeside Rodeo in 2022, and was named Best in Horsemanship Skills at this year's pageant competition. Barrel racing is a rodeo fan favorite and women's only sport in which riders race in a cloverleaf pattern around barrels with quick turns and high speeds. Kate wakes up early each day to do homework, rides her horses after school, and also helps train horses for others, while also representing the rodeo at various events as Junior Miss Lakeside Rodeo and now Miss Bull's Only Rodeo Queen. Now, balancing all of those responsibilities can be challenging, she admits, but her top priority is her family life, including her parents, grandparents, and sisters. She credits her mom for her help and support. Kate offers this message for the community. Showing kindness to somebody and being welcoming and offering a smile may make a person's day, she says, adding, you don't know what someone is going through, and you can make an impact on others. The newly crowned Junior Miss Bull's Only Rodeo Queen is 14-year-old Talika Klotzkin, an eighth grader who lives on a ranch in Poway, where she has 7 horses. She started riding when she was 5 years old, riding first English style and later Western. 4 years ago, at age 10, she began barrel racing. Talika says she's grateful for the trails behind her house and the open space that enabled her to avoid being stuck in the house during the COVID-19 pandemic when schools were closed down. She describes herself as a hard worker who does not procrastinate. Now she's juggling school, caring for her horses, and exercising them, time with family and friends, plus her new commitments as an ambassador for the rodeo. She says her dad makes sure that her education remains her most important priority, however. She also believes in putting her horse's needs first and making sure her horse is happy, in her words, even if she's super tired after a rodeo. She thanks her parents for their support as well as members of the rodeo staff who guided her through everything from rodeo knowledge and interview skills to walking the rodeo runway when not on horseback, that is. Talika plans to go to college and major in marine biology since she loves animals and also wants to continue competing in barrel racing on the road. When her reign ends next year, she says, I think I will be sad, but also I will be excited for the new queen. And she predicts, I will have learned more hard work, work ethic, and time management, and be more ready for the real world. Kate Richardson and Talika Klotzkin will be appearing at several upcoming rodeos and events in Lakeside, where you can meet these remarkable young women, including the Western Days Parade on April 29th, the Lakeside Rodeo on April 27th through 29th, and the Bulls Only Rodeo on October 13th and 14th. Reporting for East County Magazine in Lakeside, this is Miriam Raftery.
Health coverage doesn't help you if you can't find a primary care doctor, and that's a problem for 100 million Americans, according to a new report. Researchers from the National Association of Community Health Centers have found that 1/4 of medically disenfranchised people are children. Joe Dunn with the association says 1/3 of the nation struggles to get an appointment, a percentage that has risen over the past decade.
That's largely due to the consolidation across the healthcare system and the worsening shortage of primary care providers. Our health centers, especially in this post-COVID environment, they want to retain and recruit new providers, but it's just a real challenge.
The state estimates that we need about 4,700 additional primary care clinicians in 2025 and about 4,100 additional providers in 2030 to meet demand. California has multiple programs designed to attract more medical students to choose primary care and then to practice in rural areas where the need is greatest. Dunn says 30 million low-income patients per year depend on community health centers.
40% of health centers are in rural areas, and those are often communities where there's little other network and infrastructure to take care of the patients that typically go to a health center. 90% of the patients are at or below the 200% of the federal poverty level.
Denise Nix is a spokesperson for Physicians Retraining and Reentry, an education company started by a professor at UC San Diego that helps specialists retrain to serve as primary care physicians. She says we need more hands on deck to lighten the load.
Physicians today are struggling with large caseloads, requirements to keep exams short, administrative demands, insurance requirements, and then there's the burnout that comes with working in a deadly pandemic for the last few years.
A state program called Let's Get Healthy California has mapped out the physician shortage and finds that Alpine, Calaveras, Glen, San Benito, and Sierra counties have the biggest deficit. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Heavy rains have caused damage across San Diego's East County, including in Potrero, where Potrero Planning Group member Jan Hedlund says about 10 inches of rain deluged the town during the latest round of storms. The ground is saturated, says Hedlund, adding, I've been stranded 3 times on my driveway because the water's been 15 inches deep. She's also had branches fall off multiple oak trees. Along Highway 94, a huge 300-year-old oak tree toppled over onto the porch of the former Potrero Cafe, next door to the historic Potrero store, which was built in 1883. Fortunately, the store was not hit and it remains open. The property owner, Michael Streenan, says the tree damaged 2 porches and ripped up asphalt in the parking lot of the closed-down cafe. Fortunately, there was no damage to the store or the main cafe building, and no one was injured when the tree fell. The Streenan family owns a 14-acre residential lot adjacent to the store and former cafe. Streenan says the intense storms, along with new power poles installed by SDG&E on a slope behind the store, has resulted in water rushing down the hill, which he's been working to redirect. He says he plans to reach out to SDG&E, and he's also contacted his insurance company, but he's worried about insurance rates. He recently lost his fire insurance coverage due to living in a high fire risk area. Now he says he's paying triple for coverage from an out-of-state carrier, even though his property is across the street from a Cal Fire fire station. Hedlund posted photos of a massive fallen tree on social media, and she advised others not to park under a big tree after a heavy rain. She also voiced dismay at the loss of the enormous old-growth oak. That tree was gorgeous, she told East County Magazine. It's been there forever and a day. To see it topple over is sad. Reporting for East County Magazine from Potrero, this is Miriam Raftery.
A free press is the foundation of our democracy. KNSJ Radio is dedicated to providing nonprofit news in the public interest, not special interests. We rely on your support to continue bringing you important stories from San Diego and East County that you won't hear anywhere else. Please make a generous donation at knsj.org to sustain KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
This is Miriam Raftery, producer of the East County Magazine radio show. If you would like to be the media, here's your opportunity. We're looking for some more talented volunteers for our East County Magazine radio show. So if you've got radio experience or just a great voice, or if you'd like to get experience writing scripts or special reports for the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ, we'd like to hear from you. You can call us at 619-698-7617 or send an email to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We're your community media, bringing you news from our region that reflects the public interest, not special interests. This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine radio show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Jonathan Getz, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia, and the Smashing Beats. Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jewel, Brian Boyko, Royalty Free Music, Kevin McLeod, Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road, Blues 3 Music, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine radio show or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine radio show.